Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Fourth and final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A snowy Monday here in Middle Tennessee. It's been snowing all morning and now all afternoon. And I am pumped about that. It has been awesome to see. I did not expect this today. I know they have been throwing out that S word. It has happened all day. It's still not sticking, but that's fine. If it just swirled around all day, I would be cool with that. Pretty cool. You just heard us talking about Mike Vrabel. We're efforting to get Vince Ferrara. Jeremy Pruitt moved his press conference today than his normal time. The kids are not in school, and so I think they were playing around with press conference time. Looks like if everything goes off as planned, it'll be Tennessee and Florida this week, and then the SEC is expected this week to also announce kind of the remainder of their games. And it looks like Tennessee-Vanderbilt will be on December the 12th, and December 19th will be Tennessee and A&M. So potentially three games if they can get them in. Florida, Vanderbilt, and A&M is what the Vols face out for the rest of the year.
And when is the championship game?
It's supposed to be the 19th, isn't it?
I thought so. So are they?
Well,
gonna...
we think about it. Look at the games they've got slated. Right, this is what's out there floating around that is supposed to be announced this week by the SEC. The games that is being floated out there that I'm seeing on Twitter is December 19th, Texas A&M and Tennessee that I just alluded to, Missouri, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss and LSU. What do all those teams have in common? None of them will be playing in Atlanta. Right. If you notice, Florida and Alabama are not on that schedule.
No, but how weird will it be to play the SEC championship game? Oh, by the way, we have other games too on the schedule. Got to take care of.
Well, I haven't seen the times for those, but I think what they should do is what usually the SEC championship game is what about 4 or 5 o'clock our time. I'd like to see all those games.
It's been like 2:30.
No, it's not that early. It's usually 4 or 5 our time. I'd like to see them get all these games in, right, beforehand.
Sure.
Play 11 o'clock, you know, a couple 11 o'clocks and maybe even a 2:30. One of those games be a 2:30 game.
Yeah, well, just make the championship game be at prime time. Yeah, last year was 3 o'clock.
Was it 3 o'clock Central last year?
Yep.
I don't ever remember being that early. That must have been early. Typically, it's like 4 or 5. Huh. I don't even know. Have they released the time for this year? Is it going to be 3 o'clock Central?
I haven't seen it.
If that's the case, then make all these 11 o'clock
games. To see when 2018 was.
Bring in Vince Ferrara while you're doing that. From WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vince, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We were just talking about the SEC championship game on December 19th. Typically, hasn't it been like, let's see, your time would be 5 or 6 o'clock start, your time, typically, over the years?
Mid-afternoon, correct.
Okay, yep. So that's 4 or 5 our time. Chase said last year it was 3 o'clock our time, 4 o'clock your time. I don't remember them pushing it back that early. But I was just going over what is expected to be put out there this week, and apparently the SEC, from what I'm watching on Twitter, just the rumors are it'll be Ole Miss, LSU, Missouri, Mississippi State, and A&M and Tennessee on that same day as the SEC championship game.
Well, what would make the most sense, and you might have alluded to it, was that they moved that to primetime in the early evening and then play all the other games during the day.
Yeah.
So you put a bow on your SEC season with the title game. Obviously, those games aren't going to matter for the title game because they're being played on that day for that reason. But, I think that would make the most sense. And I thought I remember something about them moving it to maybe prime time, but maybe I'm dreaming that as 2020. It could have very well changed, and it may still be up in the air. I have not seen that. But look, we get bowl games that don't matter after playoff games, so we can't rule anything out when it comes to college.
No, and look, Alabama, Florida, and the college football landscape of this year, that's about as good as it gets, right, in the country. Notre Dame, Clemson would have been, it was still good, but, you know, without Trevor Lawrence, so it felt a little bit different. I mean, this would be as good as it gets, and to your point, yeah, it should be probably more like a 6 o'clock our time start, 7 o'clock right. Eastern start, and put it on prime time under the lights, you know, on Saturday evening.
2018 was also 3 o'clock Central.
Okay. But they have not put out anything for this year, which could be subject to change, even if they do have something out.
Actually, I just pulled up a story from Barrett Salee, CBS Sports Radio. The game time is set for, that's Alabama and LSU. So, no, I they may not have decided on it yet. So.
And let me go on and put that out there. So the projections, as I'm saying, as I'm going to phrase it, for what the SEC will put out this week, December 12th, will be Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, A&M, LSU, Florida, Georgia, Missouri, Tennessee, Vanderbilt.
Right. And the reason why they moved the Tennessee Vanderbilt game to the 12th instead of just sticking it where there was an open spot already on the 19th is because they want to get those division games in first. In case they do have to chop anything on the backside, that's why you're going to see as many as possible cross division games on the 19th as sort of the makeup day. But if for some reason they have to lose them, then you lose one of those versus the division games. That's why A&M for Tennessee ended up on the 19th and Tennessee Vanderbilt is on the 12th. And I think you'll continue to see that if at all possible, but as we know, as we're getting later in this, there are fewer and fewer options.
We just got through playing Mike Vrabel's Monday press conference. We weren't sure afterwards if the team is 8-3 or 3-8. We're still trying to figure that out. Jeremy Pruitt spoke as well in the third hour of our show in Knoxville. What did Jeremy Pruitt have to say today?
Well, he didn't sound like a team that was 8-3.
Nor should it.
Right. Or 5-2 if you're just going to reverse the record. Yeah. Just like people are probably rolling their eyes at that today with Vrabel and criticizing his team. And that's kind of the way he's wired. But people wouldn't buy it the other way either. But, you know, then he said they were closing the gap on Alabama. So anything's possible.
Nobody really believes that anymore. He needs to stop saying that.
No. And he has it. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it. At one point, he did say that, which didn't match how the season was going. But the biggest thing today was that he mentioned. I asked him about he's thrown out there that they've had some guys out due to contact tracing. So yeah, I asked him how many, and he said about 16. But he said most of them should be available to play in the game. Now, that obviously makes it difficult to not practice for that period of time and then be eligible to play just before the game. I mean, you have to be – it'll be Trey Smith or a really established veteran starter to, A, do that, B, have any sort of success. He threw out some guys that had done it earlier in the year, but they didn't play a ton. And, you know, I don't think they were all that effective either. So he also mentioned that one of them is a quarterback. He would not name the quarterback, but he said there is one quarterback that has been impacted by the contact tracing. He also mentioned two guys have tested positive since the Auburn game. But he wouldn't mention which quarterback. And obviously, if you can't practice as a quarterback, but then you're going to be eligible to play just the way the timeline played out just before the game this week without those practice reps, that probably eliminates that quarterback. I guess if it was Garantano, he is the most experienced guy. So he would be the one that if someone would be trotted out there in that scenario, it would be a veteran guy, right? Because there's been times where he has missed practice due to injuries, things like that, to where he knows the offense and he's got reps in practice. And honestly, at this point, for him, those practice reps don't correlate to the games anyway. So I don't think that's a huge deal for him. I just think it's still very tough. So we'll see on who that opens the door for, or closes the door for that one quarterback, but he wouldn't say exactly who it was.
How do you think he's going to handle the quarterback situation on Saturday?
Well, if it's Garantano that's the quarterback that's not available, even with that scenario, I think that opens the door for him to start Harrison Bailey. And, you know, I kind of think that they're more and more open to it. You know, something else interesting he said about when asked about Bailey's development today, they asked him about, hey, have you been able to add more of the playbook for him, things like that. He said, it's not about the playbook. It's been about opportunities. Well, okay. Well, who controls the opportunities? So if it's not about the playbook or him being able to run the offense, things like that, and it's about the opportunities, then that's the last step to you putting him out there. And maybe that's his way of saying, all right, now he's ready for it. He's got a grasp on things. You complimented him and how smart he is and works hard and developing leadership. So we'll see if he's made enough progress in his mind to say, okay, now it's just about he needs reps. And so I think it's trending in that direction, but not knowing exactly who that quarterback is, it's hard to say for sure. But I wouldn't be shocked if it is Bailey that we see on Saturday starting against Florida.
Vince Ferrara is with us, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. Usually joins us at noon on Mondays here on the Wilson County Hyundai Hotline. Vince, we always talk about the quarterback, and so I know it's kind of hard to evaluate the rest of the offense because of the quarterback play, but do you think that whoever is under center, are they getting the proper help from the so-called weapons that he should be getting?
Not like we expected. Now, a key part of that could help is if those wide receivers that we really haven't seen a lot of those freshmen other than Jalen Hyatt, if those guys have taken advantage of their extra reps during these now three open weeks that they've gotten over the last month and a half, then if those guys are ready to contribute and they ball out, then yeah, that can add a different dynamic to the pass game. Or even if there's another step this year for freshman Jalen Hyatt, who I think has a bright future. And the other big thing is the offensive line. The offensive line has not been what we expected it to. Now, I think they're coming off of their best game against Auburn. So I think that's a factor there as well. You know, what really hurts them is Jim Chaney loves to use the tight ends, and they just don't have a threat at tight end. And without Austin Pope, they're not as good at blocking at that position either. So you're predictable and you have no threat at tight end. On the other side, Florida has the best tight end in the country. Pruitt said in all his years of coaching, he thinks he's the most talented guy that they've ever played against. And yes, he's dominant. And so I don't think they've defended opponents' tight ends great. I don't think they've been horrible, but they haven't played anyone like this kid. So I think that's a different story. So the trade out at tight end is just monumental. And then the other factor is the running backs. I think they've got a couple of really good running backs, including Gray, who had maybe his best game of his career against Auburn. And then Jim Chaney is a factor too. Do they call a different offense, Chase, if it's Harrison Bailey? Do they have a little bit more trust in them? Or are they going to have the trading wheels on and then go back to a conservative game plan? So I think a lot of it just depends on where they've done, what they've done the last couple of weeks, and then if Jeff Chaney does have a trust level and he's ready to just go with Bailey, which they haven't always been willing to do with Garantano.
We've talked about Jim Chaney you know, in the last several weeks. And I don't think he's a bad coach by any means. How much is he being handcuffed by the head coach breathing down his neck? Is he truly allowed to do the things that he wants to do? You know, what have you behind the scenes? But let's play the hypothetical. If he is the scapegoat and it's Pruitt, he comes back, but there are changes on the staff and Chaney is one of them. Is it realistic to think that Jeremy Pruitt goes to one of his buddies and brings in somebody he has familiarity with, maybe it's Mike Bobo, that he brings him in to run the offense and that's kind of the route that he goes so he can have, you know, he can still have some of that control and the OC's not pushing back on him?
Well, I think a lot of it, Chase, will be on availability. You know, one of the things that just thinking about it the last few weeks that I expect there to be coaching staff changes. You know, when you're a head coach and you have a really down year and people are talking about your job, but you're going to retain your job, which I think this is the scenario, going into a hot seat year, air quote, you stay in place, but you make changes to the staff to try to give it one last shot. But with the landscape of college football right now, there may not be as much movement in assistant coaches or coaches bouncing from job to job. There also may not be the willingness for the schools to make those changes. So what's the pool going to be like? Maybe Bobo will be available or someone that he's already worked with. He's gone down that route with guys with his relationship as well. He's also brought in guys from the outside, like Tyson Helton and Jimmy Brumbaugh, that were recommended by others, and those haven't worked out either. So maybe that kind of steers him back towards somebody he's familiar with. But I don't know that Jim Chaney, unless they're not getting along and just cannot work together, I don't know that he's the most likely to go. I think that you'd see a number of position coach changes before a Jim Chaney. But in your scenario, sure, I think going to who you know, if they're available, is a comfort zone that we see in coaching a lot. But a lot of people are going to point to, you know, hey, you had Derek Dooley going into a hot seat year and he couldn't find the right guy and ended up making the disastrous Sal Santeri hire. Do you do that again? You know, I guess if you're making changes, you gotta do something. Because if it blows up, then everybody's going out together in the flames, I guess.
But in, you know, there were some, and we had this conversation at the beginning of the year of, okay, it's a COVID year, maybe that saves some jobs. But we've now seen two schools in the SEC that go, yep, nope. We're going to make changes in Vanderbilt and in South Carolina. And Will Muschamp's being paid, what, $13-something million to go away in a pandemic year. So how much does what those two schools have done within the conference, within the division, kind of change maybe the way of thinking and put pressure on Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt if Jeremy Pruitt comes back to make some changes to the staffs, even though you know you're going to have to pay some buyouts?
Yeah, Jason, there's that example for, you know, fans and media and everyone to point to that, look, other schools have done it. Honestly, I don't think Vanderbilt's impacting Tennessee's thinking in any way. But say South Carolina, you say, all right, maybe they're out trying to take the next step in terms of their coach and candidate. Hugh Freeze is what everybody talks about. But the big difference with South Carolina is South Carolina's reserve. South Carolina has north of $40 million in their athletic budget reserve. Tennessee's at 8.5. So it is a much different financial situation and budget crunch and crisis for them. And that's before you even get into 2020 and get to the finish line and see what kind of damage there's done for this year. So I think it's harder to pull that off. Plus, with Pruitt and his staff, if you're to make changes like that, I mean, you're talking about around $19 million between the two, between Pruitt and his staff, to make them go away, then they have to pay another coach. Well, guess what you've done? You've you're more than doubling what your reserve was. And I know there's this whole pie in the sky. Well, you know, saw a booster come in, just drop, you know, write a check, and it'll go all away. It'll all go away. I don't think that's reality. Definitely not in 2020 and 2021. So I just think it is a different situation for Tennessee than for other schools. And, well, by the way, with Muschamp, he had a longer tenure there than Pruitt did. It's been 3 years now for Pruitt. So I think Tennessee's looking at its own situation and not impacted by others, honestly.
Talking to Vince Farrar from the Sports Animal in Knoxville. And, of course, he's on our phone line, which is always driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Vince, did it surprise you just how easily Alabama carved up Auburn? And I ask this because, you know, you guys had seen Auburn not long before that. But just it was so impressive to me with Nick Saban not even available, how easy they just went right through their rival like that.
A little bit. I guess I was more surprised that Auburn couldn't do a little bit more offensively. But, you know, like, Bo Nix has not been anywhere near the quarterback on the road that he's been at home. I think in the Tennessee game when Bryce Thompson picked him off, I think that was his first interception he's thrown at home. So he's just a different quarterback on the road. And then Tank Bigsby, their stud running back, isn't 100%. He missed most of the Tennessee game. So you take those two factors, and Alabama hasn't continued to improve defensively. You know, it probably shouldn't have been that much of a shock. I thought it'd be a closer game, but, you know, Auburn's issues in not only, you know, in stopping the run like they had against Tennessee, but at times having busts in coverage. You know, they've been there before this season, so I had it a little bit closer, but, man, Alabama continues to get better and separate from everybody else. So it certainly wasn't shocking.
And how about this, just a league context here. With Florida and Texas A&M kind of waiting and seeing, Ohio State has an uncertain situation right now going forward. How many games are they going to get in? Texas A&M, I was watching their game against LSU. They steadily pull away. It was a rainy game. Texas A&M is going to be in the mix here if they don't slip up. Vanderbilt was down 17-12 at Texas A&M on the first week with the ball first and 10 on the Texas A&M 23-yard line. If you'd have told me right there that Texas A&M was going to end up in the top five with a legit shot of making the playoffs, I'd have said, you're crazy. It's just amazing how things can unfold week after week.
Vince, tell me if you agree or disagree. I don't take Texas A&M serious because Kellen Mond is just too up and down, man. You don't know what you're getting from week to week with that guy.
Well, what's the recipe? And we talked about it on the show. What's the recipe for championship contending teams?
It's not an inconsistent quarterback, I can tell you that.
It's not. It's an elite quarterback.
Yep.
And then enough an explosive offense and enough dudes on defense to where when you need a stop here and there, you can get them. And, you know, Alabama and Florida and the SEC have that. Texas A&M doesn't. Texas A&M has a much better running game than Florida. Really like Spiller. Wish they would use him more. But I just don't have the trust level in Mond, especially in big games. And that LSU game, other than the loss to Alabama, was the worst game they've played since that Vanderbilt game. They've got a pretty good defense, A&M. So they got the defense, they had the run game. But Kellen Mond, you're right. That's the difference between Florida and A&M, because they've got the explosive offense, the quarterback, and then they still have enough dudes to make some plays, even though that defense is you know, still leaky. But hey, the offense is what drives the bus right now. It's not the defenses.
Yeah, and their defense was really good against LSU. LSU was pathetic on offense. But I'm just saying, and by the way, he showed up in the Florida game. I get it. He's good on certain days, but, I mean, there's just weeks I watch him, I'm like, man, he's average at best. It's like, where did that guy we watched, you know, another week where he looked really good, where did that guy go? He's just way too up and down for me. That's just my two cents. Vince, really good stuff. Really appreciate it. Do you have snow, by the way, right now?
Not yet.
It's coming your way.
There's a chance today and into tomorrow, so we'll deal with it.
It's coming your way. We're just here to tell you, okay? Little heads up. Hey, thanks
appreciate
for doing
it, guys.
This. Yep, appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks for having me. See ya.
Vince Ferrara in East Tennessee there at the Sports Animal, WNML. We'll come back. Man, there's a lot of things the rest of the way. We could talk about what Mike Vrabel said and the Titans-Colts game and what's next for the Titans as they've got another big matchup, 8-3 Browns coming to town. Vanderbilt is looking for a new coach. The situation with Derek Mason, the Tennessee situation, man, there's a lot. Nashville SC, their season comes to an end. If you would like to talk to us the rest of the way, you can jump in there at 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But right now, I want to talk to you about my friends. And yes, they are my friends because I've been going there for years and they've been helping me for years at Cool Springs MD. And a lot of you in this area have been going there because they've been in our area since 2007. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center in the quest to help you in so many areas. He's the board certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse and their experienced staff. And they've got a big staff that is willing to help you, like I said, in so many ways. And the biggest thing is they just want to improve your quality of life. And as we all get older, geez, who doesn't want that? I know I do, and they have certainly been helping me with that. If you haven't been feeling yourself, you've been feeling off lately, just haven't had any energy, any drive, or maybe mood swings, go ahead and talk to them about hormone replacement therapy. They'll check your levels, make sure everything's all right. It's only natural as we get older, those levels dip, and sometimes they dip really, really low, which can affect you negatively. And so they can certainly get you headed in the right direction. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is always critical in our life, but especially in 2020. They've got programs that can help you and people help you get in, going in the right direction ASAP. Those are just some of the things they house under one roof. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, it's very easy. Pick up the phone and dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website and learn everything about them. CoolSpringsMD.com.
Coach, when you look at guys like Jamal Anderson and Larry Johnson, who had pretty excessive workloads and then had a drop off the season after, with Derek and 256 carries at this point, is there any concern or do you try to balance how many carries he finishes up with?
Teron, we play Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt this week. I don't even remember Jamal Anderson or whoever you referenced. So
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson. Yeah. We're just trying to get ready for the Cleveland Browns. And that's what our focus is.
But I mean, knowing that Derek is such a big part of your offense, and then seeing how guys in the past have had a drop off, do you try to manage his carries or is it just kind of, we're going to do whatever it takes? How do you approach that?
Going to try to prepare to beat the Cleveland Browns this week.
Face palm emoji, face palm emoji, face palm emoji. Why does it have to be that difficult? A very, very fair question from Teron Davenport. We talked to him about that today in the second hour of the show. We've talked about it a ton on the show. It's a fair question. It's something that's out there. Why act like I don't even remember any running backs in the league? I mean, I know I played 14 years in the league, but I don't even remember any running backs that I tackled for 14 seasons. I don't even know who these people are you speak of. Well, okay, then fine. I'll follow up. Do you feel like there's a need to kind of manage this down the stretch? Look, we're just trying to beat the head against the wall, head against the wall, head against the wall. Just can you not answer it? Can you say something? Hey, we're just coming in with a game plan. Derrick Henry is a big part of our offense. Everybody knows that. You know that. I know it. Everybody we play knows that. We're just trying to win games. And however we need to use him to win games is how we're going to try to win these games. This game is huge. 2-8-3 teams. We don't come in and say we're going to have a certain number of carries for Derrick Henry. We just say, how can we use 22 to beat the Cleveland Browns? And then after that, to beat the Jags and the Texans and the Packers and whoever else they have on their schedule. That's all we're trying to do. You know, we don't talk about 370 in the building. We just talk about winning games. Like, there's so many ways. Like, why do what he does? It's driving me crazy today. And maybe we need to stop playing clips. Like, just stop playing Vrabel clips. Maybe we need to stop playing his press conferences because, you know, things I thought were supposed to be, even though it's not sunny outside, it's snowy. I thought today was going to be great. They're 8-3. They're coming off beating their nemesis. I mean, Indy has owned them for 2+ decades, owned them, and they just went up there and spanked them yesterday, and you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't have a clue listening to Mike Vrabel today.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and people tweeting at me saying don't be a baby about it. We're not. I mean, we're allowed to give an opinion. That's kind of our job. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give an opinion, and the opinion that I have at least is that was a BS press conference. It just was. I you know, answer questions. Yes, you won the game yesterday. You're 8-3. But as we've had the discussion on this show many, many times, record doesn't tell the whole story. Now, they have found a way to win those 8 games, and they deserve credit for that. But there are still inconsistencies on the football team that need to be addressed. There is still the fact that there is data that says that if you get to 370, it runs down a running back, and he's the catalyst of your offense. Now, I say go for it. You're trying to win a championship. You got to use him. That's fine. Don't just dodge the questions and don't just cut people off for asking questions and get all irritated with them. I mean, it's your job. That's what you signed up for. And I hate that phrase. You know that. But that's your job.
Why? Why do you hate it? It's just the truth. I mean, you hate the truth? It's just what it is.
Because when people say that to me, it irritates me. But well, that's why.
Listen, I'm not going to lose any sleep over how Mike Vrabel chooses to handle himself with the media. I just think sometimes I think number one, he is a competitor. This is what drives him. Once they're done, I think he goes into the mode of what is the right button to push with my team this next week. And I think his mindset today is I don't want any complacency. As you said, Chase, it is a razor's edge. They're 8-3. But he knows if they let their guard down, they could be 8-6 and be right back on the bubble. So I
but
think
that question has nothing to do with their edge, Willie. That question,
yes,
answering
I know
that, question
that Darren.
Has
I know
because, nothing to do with him.
He doesn't
having an edge.
Mike Vrabel doesn't sit around going, "How do I make sure the media is happy with me today?" That is way down on his priority list.
I don't even. It's not on his list. That's very
it's,
clear.
It's not
it's
on his
not
list.
Even on his list.
Right.
That's fine.
It never has been.
But guess what? It's okay. It's fine for us to talk about it, too.
Right. But, well, that's what I'm about to do is tell you that, you know, it tells me more that the scripting plays and the issue of the workload of Derrick Henry are things he just does not want to talk about publicly. He doesn't want to do it. But if he's acting as he did with Teron there, that he has no idea what Teron is talking about, that's just not true. He knows about the workload of a running back. It's well documented what happens when you overwork a running back. And it may not manifest itself this year. If their attitude is, let's run them as much as we need to run them to try to win the Super Bowl this year, then that's fine. But they are aware that historically that affects the next year. It may not affect him this year, but it's likely to affect him next year based on the history of the league. And Teron is 100% correct to ask if that is on their mind or not, even if he chooses not to answer it. But it comes across as kind of an insult to all of our intelligence. People who cover the game, cover it smartly, have looked at the history, done their homework when they ask that question, to act like he doesn't know what we're talking about. Like, act like we don't know what we're talking about when he asks that. We'd be silly to even ask such a question. That's the only thing they got to
know. Or who are these people? It's like, give me a break. Just stop.
Right.
It.
You've been doing this for 3 years now. You know these people. And
well,
you've
been around the game, the professional game, your whole adult life. I mean, give me a break.
Right.
You don't know who these running backs are.
That was his method of dodging having to actually answer the question.
Michael,
or reveal what their thinking is on that. He doesn't want that out there. I don't think he wants his own team or the other team to think that, you know, they might take it easier, they might pull back. You know, I just don't think he wants any of that out there from a competitive standpoint. Yeah,
but it's 2020. I mean, stuff is going to get out there. That's what these coaches today that want to play this competitive advantage card and like, oh no, I gotta just, everything's gotta be locked in a box. So you can't know anything. Nothing at all.
Live in a bubble.
Quit looking in the box.
But that's where you're wrong. I disagree with that, because when you don't let the media watch practice and everything's via Zoom, I think you can conceal a lot more information than you used to be able
to. Absolutely. 100%.
There are certain things, but we watch the games and we can go into this great little tool called Google and go Derrick Henry stats, and you can pull it up and, oh, look, right there it is. I mean, there's his stats this year. Rushing attempts, 256. So we have those numbers. And so to just dismiss that and act like it's a big secret that, oh, what do you mean you know how many carries Derrick's had? How do you know that information? I mean, it's there. So then answer it this way. Go, hey, listen, Derrick's a big part of our offense. We need him to beat the Browns. We know that, you know, we're using him a lot, but that's what we have to do, and he's prepared for it. Our training staff is prepared to help keep his body healthy, and now we're just looking ahead to Cleveland. There you go. Coach speak, but you answer the question. That's what you get.
Right, I think we've all been around long enough and listened to enough press conferences. We know the coaches that are good at answering the questions, feeling like they're engaging with the media without actually saying anything you don't want to say. There's a way to do it, right?
Yep. Sure. Yeah,
who do we always say that is currently on our staff that was the king of
Floyd
saying
Reese
everything?
He, and
saying
he
does
nothing.
It with a smile on his face.
He will
look at you and smile from earlobe to earlobe and talk, and you feel good about him answering your question, and he didn't say a damn word. Well, he did. He did say words, but didn't say anything.
He said a lot without saying anything.
No, he said a lot of things.
Right.
But he didn't say anything he didn't want to say.
Exactly.
There were times where he was willing to give information.
But you feel good about it, at least. At least you feel good about it.
You're having a conversation, and you understood, and he was engaging. He could tell stories. There was way. Not that Mike Vrabel needs to break into, hey, when I played for Belichick, you know, we don't need that. I mean, not in that setting, for sure. But there's just a way, there's a little tact that would help Mike Vrabel a lot. And I think have people, as a result, talk about his attributes. I think he's a brilliant coach. I think he's done an unbelievably good job to this point in the season, getting them to where they are.
I've told you guys the story before, but the first time that I went to the combine with Floyd and Jared, we're standing there watching John Robinson give a press conference, and Jared and I look over at Floyd, and Floyd's just laughing. And we're like, what's so funny? And he goes, he's been paying attention. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, he's saying a lot without saying anything at all. He's learned from me and others on that. That's what it is. And John's good at it. John's maybe not the same level that Floyd was, but he's good at it. But there's tact. That was the right word, Willie. There's a way to do it that you don't come off as a word I can't say on the radio, but that's exactly what Mike was today. He came off that way.
I'll say this.
It's unnecessary.
Willie, you're right. I don't think anybody could argue that. I mean, he's been a tremendous hire. He is a really good football coach. I don't think he's a good defensive coordinator. I think things need to change in the offseason, although, you know, maybe it's Shane Bowen, you know, however that whole setup has been. But he has done a fantastic job as a head coach. I mean, a fantastic job. So good that I can't figure out from week to week what the hell they are, when they're going to win, when they're going to lose. It's hard. But
We pointed out last week how many injuries they've dealt with.
Well, and by the way, he's very good at overcoming stuff and facing adversity as a head coach. But I'll say this. We've also dealt with his type before. And if you don't care about and endearing yourself to people, that's fine. It's okay. It's what you are. But if you don't care about relationships as a coach, all I have to say is history shows us, I know, history, once again, just like stats, history shows us you better be damn good at what you do because your leash will be really short. You better keep winning. If you're going to act like that, you better keep winning. And maybe he will. And that's great. That's great for us. It's great for the fans. It's great for this market. It's great for the organization. But when you choose to go about it this way, and it's very clear this is how he's going to operate, because this is year three. This is not, you know, this has been a discussion piece from jump when he was worried about signs in the building, you know, from right out of the gates. And we're like, can you just worry about coaching and not worry about the media talking about signs in the building? He's come a long ways.
No, he worries
he's
about
changed,
coaching.
And he has changed a lot, and he's done a really, really good job. But when you act like that, you better keep winning at a high clip.
Agreed. But I will give him credit for being authentic. I think he's been, you know, his personality. He's pretty consistent in how he goes about it, which we can all find fault with. Everybody's got faults. The one thing I would say is sometimes when you give a sarcastic answer, the question that precedes that deserves a sarcastic answer or a blow off. But that's the only thing that irked me today. Because I've gotten used to this. I'm over it. It doesn't bother me. But Teron and Joe, and I'm not just saying this because right. they have affiliations with our station, but Teron and Joe are very good at what they do, and those two questions in particular were very good questions. So I don't know why he decided to jump on those two and go the route he did with those.
Right.
That
there's
was,
certain
that was,
people,
that was odd.
There's certain people he has on his list, and I get it.
Like, no, there's certain people that deserve it.
Sure.
That's what I'm
sure.
saying.
Sure.
Sometimes if
there's
the question
other,
is bad,
there's
you get a bad
other
answer.
People in this market you can choose to treat that way. But I mean, right. those two are pretty much pros. I mean, they're good at what they do and they're fair.
Yeah, I'll say this to your point, Darren. Of you know, you better keep winning, and he should go and listen to some interviews or some press conferences with Ken Wisenhunt when things weren't so good and they didn't get any better with his hire, and then he might change his mind a little bit.
Listen to the show that we did in the middays back then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Things I said.
I can remember an interview with
yes.
Ken Wisenhunt.
Well, Willie will remember it. It was a very, very, very frosty interview at Bridgestone Arena during the 5 o'clock hour when we were in afternoons. And yeah, Ken and I went back and forth a little bit, and it created quite the stir, people talking for sure. And he's just choosing to, once again, just play dumb. He wanted to play dumb with me, and I'm like, it's just silly. I mean, it's not an unfair question. I know what's an unfair question, and that's just how he was. He didn't care about – and that's fine. It's okay, but, you know, don't go 1-15. Good luck right. with that, and keep your job very long. All right, let's go to Tyron in Brentwood, who's on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He wants to weigh in. What's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, a couple of things, and I think Mike Vrabel is a great football coach. I'm not a Titan fan, but I'll say a couple of things. The only thing I'll say in fairness to him, he's probably like pump the brakes. We beat a coach team that was down a bunch of starters. This wasn't a true coach team we beat. This wasn't the same coach team that come up here last week and handed us our lunch. So I think he's trying to keep it in perspective of like that. But I'll say this, you know, Mike Vrabel, and y'all hit it on the nail, hit the nail right on the head. If you're going to act like a jack, you know what? You better win at a high level. And not just win at a high level, you better start horsing Lombardis, because you're trying to come off as Bill Belichick, and I got news for you, you're not that. You may have beat him in the playoffs last year, but you're not that guy, man. And there ain't but two guys in the history of the sport, well, right now they're still currently coaching and playing, and that's Brady and Belichick that can act like that because they've won six. So if he's going to be acting like that and just be dismissive and – you know, you don't matter, you don't count, and you better start horsing Lombardis, because otherwise it ain't going to last long, my friend, because you got to horse Lombardis to be able to dismiss the media, thumb your nose at the media, and last I checked, given what I've seen, you ain't going to be horsing none, because that my homeboy ain't going nowhere, and you ain't got the ingredients to beat him, so you can just cash that and chalk that. And one other thing I'll go in while I'm on Mike Vrabel, because I'm going to connect him with Bruce Arians, say, Bruce Arians, get it together or your ass going to be out of there. Yep. Plain and simple. Get it together or Brady's going to fire your ass. Take care, guys.
That thing is getting – it's getting bumpy down there.
Yeah.
They lose again, and they're now 7-5. And this whole Bruce Arians and everybody who's ever been around him, they're all saying the same thing. This is just him. And that's – going back to what we've been talking about, that's fine. But what? You better start winning.
Brady's going to win that battle.
And you better win at a high clip. And well, yes, Tom Brady will win that.
Let me throw this in there, though. Have you noticed that it hasn't gone super smooth? Is it a coincidence or not since they signed Antonio Brown? It's just physically hard to get Brown, Godwin, and Evans, and Gronkowski all the touches.
It just never ends. Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They had a lot of guys before they signed Brown. There was not really a need to have Brown. I just wonder internally how much of an issue that's becoming.
If they fall on their face, I guarantee you Bruce will be gone, not Tom.
Unless Tom wants to be gone. Because Tom will say, hey, listen, either he goes and they'll go get McDaniels or somebody, one of his boys, or I'll just retire. Like he didn't have to do anything. He can show up to the meeting with his six rings and go, what's up? Kiss him.
Do you think he would do that?
Oh, absolutely. And I would, too.
He must respect Mahomes because he went and congratulated him. All the heat he's been getting after their losses, Brady just heads straight to the tunnel. He won't even say anything to anybody. Well, he went up to Mahomes, so he must respect him. And you should. He's pretty darn good. He's ridiculously good. All right. That'll do it for this snowy Monday. Man, good stuff. We'll be right back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Be safe. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you then.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.